Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine here with attorney Joseph Robel from Joseph Robel Limited, the Chicago bankruptcy law firm. This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Update, featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are stressful, and bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you're considering filing a bankruptcy, Joseph Robel will courteously and professionally review your finances, answer all your questions, and provide the information you need to allow you to decide for yourself if bankruptcy makes sense, has value, and is the best way to provide relief from your financial woes. For a library of information about bankruptcy and the Chicago bankruptcy firm of Joseph Robel Limited, please visit the website, chicagobankruptcy.com. This is the Memorial Day 2016 Chicago Bankruptcy Question and Answer Podcast with attorney Joseph Robel, and a few of the questions that we'll answer today are, can I convert from a Chapter 7 to a Chapter 13 bankruptcy if I made the wrong filing? Another is there a way to stop a garnishment and get a payment plan without filing for bankruptcy? Another individual wants to know, will the bankruptcy trustee sell their house in order to pay off any debts? Also, we have someone who wants to know how they can file for a Chapter 7 with damaged credit and little or no student income. Again, I'm here with Joseph Robel, and he has been a practicing attorney since 1973 and has experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and families. He presently concentrates his practice in consumer bankruptcy. Mr. Robel helps people get out of debt and get a fresh financial start. He's an active member in several bar associations and is on the bankruptcy panel of the pro bono program of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Mr. Robel earned a BA in psychology from Northwestern University, and in 1973, he earned his JD from DePaul University Law School. He also served in the U.S. Army Reserve, 363rd Civil Affairs Unit. By way of disclaimer, as we get going here today, this is a general information program. Any of the advice shared on the show does not constitute legal advice, and listening to the show does not give rise to an attorney-client relationship. If you have questions, you should call the bankruptcy law firm of Joseph Robel Limited. Make an appointment to speak to an attorney by dialing area code 312-781-0996. Finally, all callers remain confidential, and rights to this broadcast are reserved. And it's time to say good morning to Joseph Robel.
Good morning, Nick. We finally have summer here in Chicago.
Long,
cold, chilly spring. You would think it'd never come. It's been 80s every single day. Today it's pouring rain as if I was in Florida. But, you know, people talk about the weather, not much we can do about it, right?
That's right. That's right. We have a deluge here in Texas. It is rain and thunderstorms off and on for the next week. But luckily, Memorial Day weekend should be somewhat dry, and maybe the sun will come out enough so that we can all cut the grass and it'll dry out. So we're not complaining, though, because as soon as it hits summertime here, it gets hot, and we call it burnt to a crisp season. All you quickly see all of the air conditioner repair trucks running around when the air conditioners really need to kick in. And, you know, just the cost of home ownership today, these days, can drive some folks into considering bankruptcy. And I'm not surprised sometimes when, the repairs to things can be, really significant. So anyways, we have a lot of good questions today from a lot of good folks. And our first person is one who may be trying to go it on their own without their attorney, because they have an interesting question here, Joe. They want to know, can they convert from a Chapter 7 to a Chapter 13 bankruptcy just after the meeting of the creditors? And the person says that it turns out that their house has more equity than they thought, and the Chapter 7 trustee wants to sell the house. Uh-oh.
Yes, uh-oh is really the right thing. This sounds like someone filing a pro se by himself, by herself, without an attorney. And as we've talked so many times before on the show, it's a dangerous thing to do. Not that bankruptcy lawyers are any geniuses. We just have the experience like any profession. And the danger to this particular person is that they didn't look into their house sufficiently enough to determine what it's really worth. When we interview clients and the value of the home is important, we have them contact a local realtor, get something in writing, find out what it could sell for. Then we will know that a Chapter 7 will work and allow them to keep their house, or that they need to do a Chapter 13. So here they did their own bankruptcy, went to the meeting of creditors, and the trustee, I'm sure, said to them, hey, I can sell your house, and we're going to put it up for sale, which terrifies people. I've had a number of situations like that where we've taken over people's cases. Clients have also asked, well, can I just dismiss my Chapter 7? And the answer is you won't be allowed to do that when there's an asset, because that asset is now part of a bankruptcy estate that belongs to the trustee. So that was a long way to say, yes, they can convert to Chapter 13. It is something they should definitely not attempt on their own. They need to go to a local experienced bankruptcy attorney. And what needs to be done is to prepare a motion, file it with the court, converting from a 7 to a 13. It's relatively routine, but there's other aspects that go with that. They have to prepare a new budget. They did a budget in their Chapter 7. The new budget has to show the ability to make Chapter 13 plan payments. Their attorney needs to determine how much they will have to pay, and they have to be able to afford it. And those are all unknowns at this point in their situation. A lot of people in this situation will then ask, well, how much am I going to have to pay? The answer will depend on the amount that their house could sell for and what they could walk away with their net equity after their exemptions. And let's say they owe $100,000 in credit card debt, and they could walk away with $50,000 after the exemptions. They would pay $50,000 back, which would be half of their total debt, so they'd be doing a 50% plan. But these are all uncertainties at this point, and this particular client really needs to get to a lawyer right away to prevent that trustee from getting that house put on the market. A very a dangerous situation. They put themselves in a very dangerous situation.
Well, sometimes when people try to save themselves some money, I think they're doing such a good job. You know, it's they kind of sometimes run afoul of things. It's sort of like going into surgery and saying, I'm going to stitch myself back up. I don't want to spend the money on that. You know, get what you pay for in life. All right. Our next person wants to know what to do with accrued interest on a promissory note under a Chapter 13 plan. It says that they're considering filing Chapter 13 bankruptcy. They are above the median income and have a bit of debt. The worst debt is a 3-year-old promissory note with an interest rate that is very high. The note is personal and it's an unsecured note. Will Chapter 13 let me pay off the principal and get rid of the interest from the past 3 years?
So the simple answer to this is yes. The interest will stop on the note. In most Chapter 13s, you will be paying back whatever is owed at the time of filing, and the interest will stop accruing even if you have to pay back 100%. Chapter 13s, as we've discussed, can be paid back at 100 cents on the dollar, 50%, 25%. And as we lawyers say, it depends. It depends on a lot of different factors. There are situations where there may need to be interest paid on this note and other debts. And that situation takes place when there is equity, when there's an asset that they could have lost in the Chapter 7. So if we go back to that previous example where the client needs to convert from a 7 to a 13, and if the net equity after exemptions is more than the total amount of your debt, so if you owe $50,000 in credit card debt, including that promissory note, and if you could walk away with $75,000 from selling a house, and this is known as a Chapter 7 liquidation test, then in that situation, you would be paying simple interest on your promissory note and the other credit cards, and that'll vary depending on the economy and the market, but it'll be far less than the 18, 19, 20% that people pay on credit cards. It's not compounded. And again, it's going in a little more detail than might be necessary, but it's an example of the complications that can occur with bankruptcy, particularly with Chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. Very complex, complex thing there. And everything, when we start talking about interest, a lot of people like me, it kind of sails right over my head. So that's why I'm glad that we're sending them to you to answer these questions. All right, here's our next person who wants to know about stopping garnishment without filing bankruptcy and getting a payment arrangement, if possible. They say that their wages are being garnished due to a repossession. The person says they're bringing home $744 biweekly and cannot pay rent or car payments on time, as well as utilities, food, etc., which incurs late fees. Person says they're just about to lose everything. Is there a way to stop this garnishment without filing bankruptcy? They want a payment arrangement.
The answer is probably not. They can contact the attorney for the creditor and discuss the possibility of paying it directly. The odds are they're not very good in their favor for getting this done, because the attorney is going to say to him or herself, you know, why do I have to give up a sure thing? I know money's coming from this person's wages in exchange for promises for money in the future.
Right.
So when they call the attorney to try to make a payment plan, they're going to have to probably offer a lot more than they want. There's nothing to lose to try. They probably won't be successful. And either they let that garnishment go through and get that debt paid, or if there's enough debt, contact a local experienced bankruptcy attorney and do a bankruptcy, and the filing of the bankruptcy will stop that garnishment.
All right. That's how to take care of that. Next person, they want to know if the trustee, you know, again, we always seem to paint the trustee seems to be like the Grim Reaper, the way people talk about the bankruptcy trustee sometimes. You know, I picture the trustee dressed in black, you know, with a big, the lawyer probably is dressed in black. Anyhow, they want to know, is the trustee going to come after my house, take my house to liquidate debt? The person is feeling hesitant. They said, I'm considering filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy. My debt is approximately $45,000. I recently found out my name was added to a deed recently. Oh, interesting. The home's assessed value is $94,000, and the deed is split between myself and my parents. The house has been paid off since my grandfather's death in 1995. My parents just pay the taxes and insurance on the home. What may happen here?
The answer is yes. If they file Chapter 7, trustee will sell this house. The trustee is duty-bound to do this. The trustees have a job, and they need to do this. So Chapter 7, a terrible idea for this particular client. If they cannot handle dealing with the debt on their own, and $45,000 is a lot of money, they probably need to look into doing a Chapter 13. Payback based upon these numbers, they probably won't have to pay back all of it in full. They can do up to 5 years. That'll resolve the situation. It won't, that property won't be touched. And it's a way to make everybody happy and give this particular client control over their finances. That's what bankruptcy does, Chapter 7, Chapter 13. Many people, when they come and interview with me, they just feel out of control. They don't know what to do. They can't. Their payments aren't reducing their debts. The collectors are calling them. And the control that it gives people by with a 7 where your debts are gone, you go on with your life, or with a 13 where you're under a payment plan, creditors can't bother you, you know you're clearing up your debt. It's a very nice aspect of filing for those people that really need to do it.
You know, I get questions from people I talk to just around town who know some of the programs that we do, such as this one. And I got asked a question the other day about someone trying to catch up on their student loans, or they fell behind, weren't making payments, fell into default on a federal loan, and while they know it's almost nearly impossible to get a discharge on a student loan, they wonder if Chapter 13 can knock off some of the interest that's accrued there, and how Chapter 13 affects a federal student loan that went into default.
It will not. You won't get rid of the interest on student loans. That's an exception to, because it's a non-dischargeable debt. It's an exception to what we said previously, that promissory note, the interest stops, credit cards, the interest stops. Student loans, as you and I have discussed, is a huge problem for many, many people. They've undertaken debt that they, maybe blindly thought they would be able to pay in the future, and things oftentimes don't work out right.
Yep. Well, life is challenging and life can be complicated, and these bankruptcy laws are complicated, especially when there's such a collective amount of thought out there, just with people talking to each other. Someone gets a bit of information they think is true and it's not necessarily true, so we call that getting advice in the line at the grocery store is not always the best thing. Anyhow, back into bankruptcy, these procedures involved and the documentation that can be required for people who are allowed to and can't take advantage of these laws, it can be a little overwhelming, particularly if you're unfamiliar with the law. Joseph Roble has over 40 years' experience representing clients in consumer bankruptcy, and that experience ensures that your financial situation will be properly analyzed. Joseph Roble and his staff understand that you're probably anxious about the financial problems you're experiencing and tired of harassment by creditors, and possibly uncertain as to whether filing bankruptcy is really what you need. Well, if bankruptcy will help your situation, you will be properly advised for which chapter you may qualify. At Joseph Roble Limited, the entire process from beginning to end will be clearly explained to you, and you'll be provided with a what to do next letter that lists all the documents that you will need to provide so the firm can represent you, and that will take place at or soon after your initial free consultation to guide you through the entire process from start until finish. Of course, if you don't need to file for bankruptcy, they'll tell you that. Joseph Roble Limited is not there to put you in a bankruptcy simply to earn a fee. They're a small law firm of attorneys and staff experienced in consumer bankruptcy. It's not a huge bankruptcy law factory, and no one has ever been lost in the office. You will be treated as a human being with the courtesy, dignity, and respect that you deserve. The mission at Joseph Roble Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of bankruptcy laws. Joseph Roble Limited has offices conveniently located in the Chicago Loop, Chicago Rosemont, and in the suburbs of Burr Ridge, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So, whether you live in any of the Illinois, Chicago area counties, whether it's Cook or suburban Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, or Lake County, there's an office conveniently located nearby. You can go see Joseph Roble Limited attorneys and find out what you're up against and what you can do and how they can help you. Back to our program now. We have another Chapter 13 question. We see, you know, Joe, we seem to get a lot of Chapter 13 questions, more than we used to get, and maybe that's because we talk so much about Chapter 13. I don't know. This person wants to know how this will impact their life with a Chapter 13 with a year and a half left on their repayment plan. They say we're in Chapter 13. It'll end on January 2018. We pay a very large payment each month, which comes entirely out of my paycheck. It's a 100% payback. What will happen when we file for legal separation? We have a senior in high school and a sophomore in high school and are strapped to pay expenses for one home and will now have separate homes. A situation that unfortunately too many people face these days. What can they do? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a common problem, but I've seen this often happen before. You now have two separate homes instead of one. The expenses have increased, and continuing the plan with the original payment is just not possible. So the plan, it may be possible to reduce the plan payments. That depends upon information I don't really have. I don't know about the value of their assets. But if it's simply a question of budget, a motion can be filed with the court explaining what has happened, showing new budgets and reducing the payments for the rest of the plan. The problem with a Chapter 13, when parties are separated like this, they each need to rely on the cooperation of the other. Unless, let's assume it's the husband here has been making all the payments. And I've seen too many times cases fall apart because one of the spouses is not contributing. It also may be possible that this case can be converted into a Chapter 7. Again, depends on the budget and value of their assets. Once again, I'll do my mantra. If they filed this with an attorney, they should go back to their lawyer and discuss this. If they didn't have an attorney, they should contact a local experienced bankruptcy attorney and review those issues that I raised here.
All right. Next question. Someone has damaged credit. They want to file for Chapter 7 for free. He says, I'm a full-time student. I have little to no income. I have damaged credit. How can I file for Chapter 7 for free?
Okay, damaged credit. I assume that means they have debts that are past due and are in collections and their credit score is low. People need to remember that bankruptcy will not act as an eraser. I was going to say an eraser on a blackboard. I don't know how many people know about blackboards anymore, but
blackboards online
now. It doesn't erase or fix your credit. Bankruptcy will give you a discharge of your debts. So if this particular young student needs a bankruptcy to get out from under their debt, and they don't, first of all, you don't need income to file bankruptcy, and secondly, they can't afford a lawyer, they need to check good old internet, whether they use Google or Bing or whatever, and look up legal aid organizations in the county in which they live. And they should be able to get a legal aid lawyer to handle this. They would only have to pay the court filing costs of $335, and there would be no lawyer's fees, but they need to be forewarned that these legal aid organizations are very much understaffed, and they'll probably have to wait quite a while to see someone and get a case filed.
Well, it's good at least that there's someone out there to help. And I guess if creditors or people are bugging them in the meantime, just tell them, hey, I'm in the process of filing for bankruptcy. Sometimes
let me tell you about, excuse me, about in our area, since I'm in Chicago with a large population, there are a lot more choices with regard to legal assistance. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm on the pro bono panel of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. And they have a series of lawyers who do bankruptcy for people who can't pay attorney's fees. And there's a rotating list, and I will get probably 3 or 4 during the year where Chicago Volunteer Legal Services contacts me, gives me information about a proposed client. We meet and we handle the case for them on a pro bono basis. And again, depending on where you live, will determine access and how quickly things can be done.
Well, it's good to know that those are out there. So very good. Glad the person asked that question. All right. Next one. Someone wants to know, oh my goodness, can I take my daughter to court? Oh my. Can I take my daughter to court to collect on $500 that she said she would contribute to her grandmother's funeral? Oh, my. My daughter agreed to pay $500 towards her grandmother's funeral, and now, because of an argument with her sister, she refuses to pay, and someone else has to pay it. Can my daughter be taken to civil court so the person can get their money back from her through a judgment?
Well, I can't say that I'm supposed to place value judgments, but boy, this doesn't sound like a very good thing to do. I mean, why would you want to sue your own daughter? Yes, you know, you can take her to court and try to collect that money. People's court, small claims court. Pretend you're on television, but
right.
Resolving these kind of things by within the family really makes a lot more sense.
It's just not going to be, you know. Yeah, I mean, because she can get that $500 judgment, and then she's got to enforce the judgment.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like
yeah.
You might have to go to court quite often, and good luck finding a lawyer who's going to – well, I mean, if you want to pay – To go on a civil case, to go to, I mean, it's going to be at least $1,500 for someone to hire someone to go to court. I mean, a few court trips, it's not worth it. You know, and also just a little side note, I've talked to and met some of the folks who do some of these television programs like Judge Judy or there's like a dozen of them nowadays. But my understanding is what it is it's on those programs, they agreed to, it's kind of like binding arbitration or mediation. I'm not sure if it's mediation or arbitration, but they all agree to an alternative dispute resolution thing there. So it's not really real court, but it's close. But, hey, I know some of them are probably filmed right there in Chicago, so maybe that person should try to see if they can get on the list. So that's best advice for them. My. All right, moving right along. We have a couple questions left. And one person wants to know, is this debt considered discharged? As I said, I filed for Chapter 7 pro se in January 2014. It was a no asset, simple filing. Then in 2007, I attended flight school down in Florida and obtained a private loan for flight training. I reviewed records, and this loan is not federally backed. I listed the lending bank and all affiliated debt collectors for the loan as creditors, and they were notified appropriately. It says, I'm still getting harassing phone calls from them to this day and received a voicemail from them last week. I'd like to take action against them or at least get them to stop calling for good. Yep, it looks like a student loan question here.
Well, unfortunately, there's no action to take, and they're going to continue to call because this person is under the wrong impression. Student loans, whether they are government-backed or private, are not discharged. So that debt is still there. It's going to have to be paid.
There you go. All right. Final question for the day. Person wants to know if they are able to file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy with no tax returns or pay stubs because they've been unemployed for the last 2 years. It says, I only have debt and no assets or income, therefore I will not be able to provide proof of employment to an attorney or the court. I also have no tax returns for the last 2 years because I have not worked.
You do not need to be employed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Chapter 13, you need a regular steady income to do a plan, and usually that means employment, but it can be done with pension, Social Security, and rent. For Chapter 7, you don't have to be working, and if you are not required to file a tax return, and if you weren't working, you're most likely were not required, you'll be able to either so advise the trustee, or the trustee may want an affidavit that you certify that you weren't working and no return was required. So the pay stubs and the tax returns, that's part of the bankruptcy process. We are required to provide those to the trustee 14 days after filing. However, if they don't exist, then it's waived. So really not a problem. Really not a problem.
There you go. Well, that concludes our frequently asked and answered questions. I want to remind people listening to this podcast to visit the website chicagobankruptcy.com, where you may find a page dedicated to all of these podcasts and shows. You can click and listen to back programs. Some are question and answer. Some are also specifically targeted to certain bankruptcy topics and issues. As well, the blog has all sorts of information, a library of subject matter. You can actually search, you know, ask your question, you know, and search it right on the website, and it will return a list of blog articles that will likely answer your question. Also, you can find all of the social media pages for the firm there, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, connect and follow along there as well, because we also share positive stories about consumer finance, ways to avoid scams and swindlers and traps, and ways to budget and save money, ways to repair credit, everything to put you in a better financial place. That is the entire purpose of all of this. Joe, let the people at home know how they can follow up with you if they have more questions, or just find you personally a nice guy and just want to talk to you. But I really have questions.
Okay. Well, we can talk about the Cubs. They're doing really good this year.
There you go. There
I'm
you
sorry,
go.
Really doing well. Got to watch my grammar. Okay, so a simple way would be through email, because it allows for an opportunity to answer thoughtfully and at the right time. It's Joseph Robel, W-R-O-B-E-L, no punctuation, at chicagobankruptcy.com. Website, chicagobankruptcy.com, with tons of information. Telephone, 312-781-0996. And you can schedule an appointment right there on the phone at any of our 11 Chicagoland locations, or call and ask for me. I'll be happy to answer questions. There's always questions with bankruptcy. Nick, thank you again for today's show.
Thank you, Joe. And I wish you and everybody out there a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy the three-day weekend. Hope everyone has the best weather and stays out of trouble. And if you spend too much money and need a bankruptcy, you'll know who to call. There you go. All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back next time.